press in for more of you. And the good gifts will flow from our generous, gracious, loving Father. But we won't keep them for ourselves, we declare it this morning. We're going to be a conduit. We're going to be a pipe and let you flow through us with your good gifts so that we can give them out to the needy world, Lord. Give them out to the needy neighbor, that co-worker, that schoolmate. We're going to allow you to give us the good gifts of heaven so we can pass them on. Pass them on. Pass them on to the hurting world that we live in, Lord. Give us the courage. Give us the courage. Father, give us the courage to first draw into your presence farther than we've gone before. Maybe we've only made it to the outer court. It's time to come into the Holy of Holies. And Lord, may it take a rope around our ankle to pull us out.
Thank you, Jesus.
You hit us with your glory so much, it takes someone else to save our life and pull us out of the glory. Because you've so overwhelmed us, Lord. I don't know if I'm ready for your true glory, but I'm calling it down anyway. I don't know if I can contain it, Lord. I'm pretty sure I can't. But I'm calling it down anyway. We need your glory to come and fill us up. Overwhelm us, to squeeze out the world, the flesh, and the devil, Lord, so that we're pure vessels in your sight to be used to build your kingdom, to extend your kingdom in every direction. In Jackson Township here, Lord, so many relying on their wealth, and they're hurting in their big houses, hurting in their mansions, Lord, when you have the freedom for them, we reach out to Jackson Township with your love. We reach out to Maslin. We reach out to Canton. We reach out to Akron. We reach out to Alliance. Lord, we reach out to the state of Ohio, wherever you take us, Lord. We reach out to any state, any person in any state, Lord, if they need you. We will go. And any nation you call us to, we will go. To take your glory to the ends of the earth. Still thirsty, Lord. We're still thirsty.
Ann, you ask Ann to come up. Ann, come up here. Come here. You know, as we're enjoying the power and presence of our wonderful Papa, enjoying this atmosphere of glory. He's so good. Thank you. so powerful, and it's been climbing ever since. And I want to touch briefly on last night, and I called Anna because I wanted her to share an encounter that she had with the Lord. Because Michelle had spoken about seeing horses that were to ride. It's about the glory of God. We can talk about the glory, sing about the glory, but when we're in the glory and experience His glory, oh, there's just no greater place to be. I just wanted Anne to briefly share what happened.
I rode my horse last night. Did you guys ride? Did you ride? You know, it wasn't until the end of last night that I found out that Michelle said there were only 8 horses. I didn't know that. But it didn't matter. I'm sorry, you guys, but I was getting my horse. You guys couldn't have had my horse because I was taking my horse. And I got to my horse. I said, I don't know how to get on. And finally, the Holy Spirit just lifted me and placed me on the back of that horse. And there I was, feeling its mane, smelling it, just like Michelle said. I could smell my horse. And we started to go, and we were in the clouds and in the sky, and I looked over the top of my horse, and there was Jesus leading us. And it was just Him and me, but I knew there were others. I wasn't alone. There were others riding with us. And then Holy Spirit took my arms and wrapped it around the neck of my horse and put my head on its neck and turned my head to the side and said, look. And the clouds parted, and I could see the countryside. And it was lush, and there were homes, and there were fields and orchards. And it was beautiful. And then I saw, and I have seen this before, I go to the River of Life, which looks like an ocean because it is so vast. So vast. And there came the army of men marching out. And planted on this side are the Tree of Life. And down of it came the army of women descending from the Tree of Life. This time, there were horses waiting for them, and they mounted their horses. And the power that was magnified in that moment was huge. And then as I looked out over the countryside, it was being covered with horses, covered with the riders, covered with the horses, and we were taking it. We were taking the earth. That was it. But it was so neat. It was just wonderful. Thank you, God.
It's so cool. Mike, come here. Michael. Michael had an experience the night before, and I'd just like you to highlight that for us, Mike.
I was up here in worship, and we were singing I Love You, Jesus. Pastor Bill was leading that song, and I just went into an amazing vision, probably one of the most profound visions I've ever had in my life, and I saw angels all over this room. They had their hands on people that were worshiping, and they were transparent and white and like had like a purple tint. They were about 6'4" to 7 foot tall. And they're just all over this room. And then up in that area where the cross is, it parted open. There was a sky and light appeared. And Jesus came through, and I could see Him. And he had his hand down. He started to reach his hand down behind the worship team. And then he like, whoo, threw these jewels all out, all through the congregation, and just flooded over us. And it was amazing. There was a lot of other stuff that happened after that. That was probably the biggest, I would say. Yeah, after that, I went to some different places, too. I was standing on a ranch, like a desert ranch, and I was walking, and, I mean, just everything was motion. It wasn't just a picture. It was like an open vision. Or, I mean, I had my eyes closed, but I saw a big barn to my left, and I wanted to go towards the desert, but I felt like the Spirit was prompting me towards this barn. And so I go to try to climb up it, but instead I walked up it, like, you know, so I stood on the top, and I'm looking over, and all of a sudden I shot up like really high into the sky and the atmosphere, and I'm just seeing all these like stars and galaxies. But then what started to form was a like something like some sort of object, and it was ended up being a diamond, like a diamond ring. And I saw a hand come through and take the diamond and place it on my finger, and just the sense that it was like an engagement ring, like engaging with the Lord. And just it was powerful. And then shortly after that, I was over a city, a big city, like probably New York or something like that, and Singapore, Hong Kong, any city. And I landed on a skyscraper, and I saw these skyscrapers just start lifting up out of the ground, like one by one, lifting up. And I felt like the Lord was doing it, just taking up these skyscrapers. And so I felt like I could do the same thing. And the verse in Matthew 21:21 about moving mountains, and you say this mountain move, it'll move for you. Well, it was with skyscrapers. And so I started picking up skyscrapers, and yep. Yeah, kind of, except it was daytime, but Yeah, there we go. That, like that. Just like that. Woo! So it was amazing. It was just, I mean, the Lord, it was just so intimate and so loving. And I felt like through this entire experience that he was showing me in worship that we can press through that new dimension and seeing into the Spirit in worship. And so I want more of that. I've been praying, Lord, I want to see more. And he did it. So.
But I was like Joel's army.
Yes. Tell them about Joel's army.
Where's Joel too? Let me read.
Christy was singing out last night about Joel's army. It was very powerful, and that led into the vision that Michelle had. You see, this is interactive. This is called participating in the glory. This is where heaven opens up and the Lord says, hey, you want to live here and hang out with me? How do you like the glory realm? This is for you every day. Every day. This is not just on Sundays at Frontline Worship Center or Tuesdays or whatever day. This is every day for us. The Lord says, I will get you there. It's not hard. Just love me. Let me take your baggage. Love me. It's simple as that. And sometimes, even with our baggage, we have these experiences. Isn't that cool? God is so good. But let's put those pictures back up of Singapore. Singapore was the last place we ended up. We're back from Indonesia, back from India. I look Indonesian today. Michelle looks Indian. Esther Bill is a mixture, I think. So... you have, your look, you're Indonesian, I guess.
You're a beautiful butterfly.
A bit of, thank you, Debbie. Anyway, Singapore was a surprise. The Lord had given me a vision, actually, about Michelle and I doing something in a city that we ended up doing, going into, actually into the Red Light District, the brothel areas and things like that. But I didn't know where it was, and I kept looking for it. When we were in India and Indonesia, it didn't happen. So I thought, okay, don't understand that one. But we ended up taking a little ride, you know, not on a chariot, but in a taxi, and going and doing some things there. We'll talk about another time. But that was a surprise. We ended up going to another country. How many of us know that the Lord wants to completely surprise us and give us suddenlies, take us to new places, give us visions to dream bigger than we are, to see this place as a wonderful place of worship, but that there's so much more God has for us, so many more people, so many more countries. The Lord is always upgrading us. So when we were in the wonderful hotel, which was a surprise also, and this new country for a day or so, and overnight, which was given to us as a gift, it was not planned, it was from the Lord. So we're on the 52nd floor taking these pictures, right outside of our balcony, completely blessing, giving, it was something given to us. And so as we stood there, Michelle, Pastor Bill, and I, we were taking the city and the region for the Lord. This little island is a country, but it's 25 kilometers from east to west. It's amazing. Yeah, it's not very big. But this is the city, Singapore City. That was the city. And so we spoke from the high places to the high places. And there was such an apostolic authority released. It was amazing. You need to hear this because it does relate to you. It relates to you whether you live downtown, you live in Massillon, you live up north near Cleveland, wherever it is. The Lord is saying, I want to expand your vision. I want you to be able to receive the vision that I have released from heaven to earth for this body. And this is for all of us. So we're going to be sharing some things this morning that involve the little people, that involve the older ones, and eventually the children will be able to leave. But right now, we want our little ones who are having visions to receive, don't you think? I mean, last night, little Joshua came up and he had a vision, and Nadia too. They were here last night. And Joshua's vision involved the Lion of Judah, and seeing the light was God next to the Lion of Judah, however that worked. I'm not sure exactly how that was. But Jamie had the same vision at the same time and said, Joshua, I saw the same thing. God's doing something new. And he's saying, catch this, catch this, catch this, because I want you to contend for this, and I want you to pull in that which I've released. It is not just for the pastors and a few going overseas. And there's a point to our going overseas. Do you understand? When we go to Mozambique this summer, there's a point. beyond, oh, I get to go to Africa or Ghana or wherever we're going. The Lord is saying, it's not just a little mission trip. This is my mission from heaven to earth that I have released over this body. Do you want to ride it out? Do you want to go to the four corners of the earth? Are you developing this passion for souls that comes when you're in the glory? Without a passion for souls, how can we go anywhere and do anything for God that's going to bring fruit or produce fruit that remains? The Lord wants fruit that remains. And so he wants us to be so light, just like a butterfly, so that his glory will be able to carry us wherever he wants us to go. And then we'll see change affected. Now, Michelle, if you can come up, I want you to share something. Everybody needs to see this. This was at the end of our Indonesian trip, one of our last meetings, this past week. And we were in a lady's home who we had worked with before. She's a lovely lady. And this is a very typical way of ministry for us in the last 2 years anyway. And things are increasing. I will tell you about that in a few minutes. But this lady opened up her home and invited people. And we had a couple people in wheelchairs. And we want Michelle to tell the story.
Yes, so there he is. So we had an anointed time of worship. And then Abraham and his wife Sarah came. And he needed real names. For real. So Abraham is here in the wheelchair, and you can see he had Parkinson's disease, he had osteoporosis, and he had some tumors. You can see on the, I guess, our left-hand side, you can see his belly looks bloated. He had a number of tumors there. And so Abraham, he was so the belly. If you look to our left, see where his right hand is right there. You see how it's bloated? You'll see it in the next photo too, I think. So he had a number of tumors, and you can kind of see it there. So anyway, Abraham, 16 years in a wheelchair. He was 84 years old, couldn't walk at all. And so you'd think, you know, at 84 years old, some people might have dismissed him from ever getting up out of that wheelchair, but plus with all the diseases he had. But Abraham came with faith. His son is a pastor. He attends another church, but he heard about the meeting and was really stirred in his heart and decided he wanted to come. So he came, and we prayed for him, and he was so excited. He said he felt the love of God like he never had before. And then the next photo shows him. He said, I want to stand up and try to walk. So we had these two guys here kind of assisting him, but he'd never done this before. I mean, like quite like this. And he stood up, but he still had a little bit of pain, but he wasn't deterred at all, basically. I mean, you know, he felt the pain lessen a little bit, but then he sat back down and Pastor Mary Pat laid hands on his hips, on his back, and he said suddenly he felt all the pain go. And he's tearing up, you know, and we're all like crying because we're seeing a miracle take place in front of us in a matter of minutes, and he was so excited. So here you see him. We were actually, so back up, we don't have to back up the photo, but what was happening at this point was his wife, Sarah, was watching this happen, but she still had some unbelief. She still actually told us that, you know, well, I don't know if I really believe Jesus can heal him. I don't know if this is really real. So when we were talking to her, all of a sudden Abraham gets up and he finds strength to pull himself up out of his wheelchair on his own, no assistance. He'd never done this in 16 years. And he said he felt supernatural strength come in his body. You can go back to the other photo because I want to get... His wife came up and repented into the microphone for her unbelief and said, I believe Jesus can heal him. So we had husband and wife together praying. So Abraham stands up, and then you can look in the next photo. And here he's walking. He said, I haven't even been able to take a step in so many years. And he's able to walk here with a little bit of assistance, but, I mean, he's walking. And you can see, look at his belly. If you flip back and forth to the photos, you can see that the tumors actually shrank. And if you compare, I mean, if you go to the website and have a little more time with it, I actually, because I just discovered this in the office, I realized that if you look at the guys who are helping him there and the size, compare his size to them, and then in the other photos, you see that he's a lot smaller here, and his tumors shrank. And so it was amazing, and he just walked around the room twice. And then during lunch, he was still shaking from the Parkinson's. Like, his arms were constantly shaking very violently. And then, and he's so excited, and he's walking, and, you know, he's like, I'm going to be dancing next time you see me. And then he sits down to eat lunch, and his shaking stops. His Parkinson's was completely healed. So everything, and I forgot that Abraham couldn't hear. He was pretty much 100% deaf. Yeah. Oh, this is when his wife... Okay, so that was the point when his wife repented. Because Abraham, he's like, oh, I believe... You know, he can't even hear us talk to him. We have to... And he takes out his hearing aids. And then we start talking to him, and he can hear us. He can hear his wife from, like, a little bit across the room. It was crazy. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. So, deaf, healed, Parkinson's healed, legs, osteoporosis, can walk, everything. Tumor shrank. It was insane. So, it was so much fun. This is our last day of ministry. Second to last.
Then we have the other guys. Oh, the other guy?
Yeah, we have his voice
too. You can hold him up.
Sure. And then our contact's father here, he was watching all of this, and he came into the meeting. His daughter dragged him there, basically. And he was like, I don't believe Jesus heals. I don't. And his wife wasn't even saved yet at that point. So he's watching Abraham do this thing, and he's still, after seeing the miracle, he still doesn't know if he really even wants to try to get up and walk. But then his daughters convince him to try, so and then he confesses his unbelief and repents. And so you see him here getting up out of his wheelchair. He's still a little bit of assistance, but he starts taking steps right away. I mean, even faster than Abraham did. And if you go to the next photos, here's him with a little bit of assistance from his daughters, but they're barely hanging on. And then we told them to let go. That's the one. No, maybe not that one. And so they're just kind of spotting him very slightly, but he walked around the room twice himself. And then his wife ended up, so she saw this miracle and she was, you know, excited about it. But then God heals her finger completely, and she couldn't believe that it actually happened to her. She's like, the pain is completely gone. She takes off her bandage, and it was arthritis, and she ran out to the car even to tell us, but she ended up getting saved. PMP prayed with her for salvation, so it was really exciting to see two people get up out of wheelchairs like this.
Why don't you tell them how it was for you to see the miracles everywhere we went?
Oh, sure. I was telling this a little bit to my focus group. I just really saw the increase. You know, this body as a whole, every year, steadily increasing from glory to glory, and the glory that we see manifest here. But it's amazing. You see so much of the fruit of it when you go overseas and you realize just how strong of the glory of God and the presence of God we carry. Because everywhere we went in Indonesia, every single meeting, and sometimes I'd walk in and I'd just feel the hardness. I mean, there were some very prominent elite people at some of these meetings, you know, and then I would see the atmosphere as the meeting would progress and worship would come and people would start to get healed. And I would see the atmosphere in every single meeting change. And if there was anyone hard of heart, by the end of the meeting, people were crying on their knees, you know, worshiping the Lord. People were getting healed. It was an outbreak at every single meeting. It was amazing. And so that led to late nights of ministry. But it was really exciting just to see, you know, from the smallest meeting, maybe like 30 people, to the biggest, hundreds of people. Everyone was touched. The glory of God came, and there were healings in every single meeting that we had, and salvations in almost, I think, all but one meeting, there were salvations. So it was incredible. Yeah.
Why don't you tell them
some more healings? Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, you can look on the website now. So we had two guys get up out of wheelchairs. One of them was deaf. Two were healed of polio, a man and a woman. One of the men, came to this one particular night meeting, and he couldn't even lift. I mean, he had to walk with assistance. I think he had a cane. He couldn't lift up his knee at all. And but he had great faith as well. And he said, you know, I believe Jesus healed me. So he starts to lift his leg, and still a little bit of pain. But then he said, I want to walk. So he starts walking across the room without any assistance, and his leg is like instantly healed as he walks, as he takes steps of faith. And then he says, that's not good enough for me. I want to run across the room. So he sprints across the room. And then, and you'll see the pictures on the website. It's insane because he still felt a little bit of pain when he sprinted after having polio for how many years. But, he kept walking around the room. And at the end of the night, I wanted to take his picture. And he said, okay, I want you to take a picture of me doing a karate kick. And so, next one. There he is. It's awesome. I was shocked. And I didn't, unfortunately, I didn't get a picture. What he did next was he did a full out splits. I couldn't even do that when I was a cheerleader. Like he did a splits. I don't know how or what or whatever, but he was so excited. And just to see the faith rising in people to want to test the miracle, even if they don't, you know, it's not like an instant right away, oh, I can run right away. They want to, you know, progressively take steps, walk, run, kick, whatever. There were a number of There were a number of people with pinched nerve and spinal problems that were instantly healed, and that was pretty incredible because, you know, a pinched nerve, I've seen people suffer from that. It's pretty intense. And osteoporosis, women who couldn't even bend over, could barely move, just bending over, and all these pictures are on the website. Cancer. Oh, yeah, cancer. Jeez. This one woman, her name was Mary. She was at an intercessory prayer meeting. We were at International Intercessors Meeting. And she comes up during the lunch, not even during the meeting, and she has cataracts. She can't see. All she can see is darkness, so she can't see. She has diabetes, so she has to walk with a walker. She had cervical cancer, and the whole cancerous area had progressed so much that she had constant throbbing pain in that area. So we prayed for her, and first her cataracts left. She was healed of cataracts. She was able to point out all the colors on Pastor Mary Pat's shirt, describe her face, and she was just like, I couldn't do this before. It was amazing. So then we said, you want to try to get up and walk? So she gets up and walks across the room without her walker, and we have that on video, not a still, because yeah. So there's Mary testifying in the microphone. So she walks across the room, which is awesome, and then she sits down and, you know, we pray for her cancer. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the prayer, she said that the pain is completely gone. There's no more pain here. And she believed. And so we were waiting on those doctor's reports because we believe that the cancer was completely healed. And then a woman came up after that with lung cancer. And I don't even know if she was at the full meeting. I think she just came and heard about it. And she had pain in her chest, pain in her throat, pain in all that area. There she is. And we prayed for her. And at first, she still felt the pain, prayed again. And the pain had completely left. So she testified that she believed her lung cancer was healed. So it was awesome. It was really awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. What we want to do... You know, some of us really get it when we have a visual connection. So we're going to start with the first one, and we're going to do kind of a slideshow. And this is not a missionary report. This is vision casting for you, because the Lord sent us to three countries, actually. We weren't expecting the third one, but two countries, and they were very intense. And 5 weeks is a long time, but not in God's eyes. And you say, Lord, what are you showing? What are you doing to Frontline? What are you doing here? We're going, we're obedient, we're in the rubbish areas in India, we're in meetings with some of the more socially elite types of people with more money and all of that in Indonesia. We just had such an extreme type of trip. But the ministry is the same. Jesus comes, he shows up, frees people, the glory comes, and things change. But the Lord is very interested not just in the individual, but what the individual's going to do. And what's going to happen in their life? He's interested with us here at Frontline. What are you going to do with who I am and how I've shown up? What are you going to do? Are you going to step in, completely receive, allow me to take you to heaven, ride the horses? What's up? What do you want? And I believe today he wants to cast that vision deeply in our hearts. Deeply. So let's take a look at some of these and just dream with the Lord. Say, Lord, what about me? And my life. Because he's not just sending us to give a report. He's sending us to do his work, to do the gospel, to release the gospel of the kingdom, where people are healed, saved, delivered, and the devil cannot stand. The presence of God was so strong, there were open heavens everywhere we went. Every place. Open heavens, open portals, the glory of God. Okay? And this can change us. This can increase us. This can increase us. Do you know that with all the things going on in your life, when you, even with the hurts and the pains, you focus on this right now and listen what God's doing, it can touch you and bring healing and deliverance to you. That's how it is. And wherever we went, we told people this, and they had no grid for it initially, and they just stepped right into it. Like the guy with polio was like, okay, I feel something happening to my body. I'm going to run and do splits. It's like, what is that? Oh, I didn't even see the splits. But God is saying, let me grab your heart right now. Don't stay wrapped up in me and my world. Let our eyes see the rest of the world. And the Lord takes us and brings us out of our world. It really is true. And that's compassion of Jesus, because he helps us. He releases the glory as we walk in the grace to say yes to his kingdom anywhere we are. It's not, well, that's just Michelle. That's just Pastor Mary Pat, just Pastor Bill. No. God is saying, the same Holy Spirit lives in you. If you know me, this is powerful. So let's look at these really quickly. We're not going to dwell on them. These are our children in India, in Southeast India. And you heard from the India team. And we have frontline children there. So the heavens are open for them. Gold dust appears on them. They have visions. They're taken to heaven. This is cool stuff. And the Lord says, I'm giving you the privilege of bringing these little lives up and seeing them become world changers just like you. But they're in Asia for now. What are you going to do with that? Does it stir your heart? What do you want to see with them? Is this just a little children's home that you support? No. These are lives that are going to take nations. Telling you, God is saying, when you carry the glory and when you release the glory wherever you go, the spreads. And this is what's happening. Oh, Michelle calls it insane. I call it wild and crazy. It's amazing. Just amazing. These children will be over here. They will be in our new church. They will be in our new building. Yes, Lord. And so all these contacts, I'm telling you, there is such a connection. And the Lord says, I'm giving you more countries. How many do you want? How many countries do you want to go to?
All.
He's increasing. And to go to both of these countries and really have intense ministry and then have some intense ministry in Singapore for a shorter time. It's like, well, Lord, it's a surprise. You even opened up a country we weren't ready for. And he said, what do you mean? I gave you a vision. I just didn't know where it was. And it happened on the same trip. And God did it completely. We had no part in it. Thank you, Lord. You've seen some of these things before, but there's our children. This is a worship conference, a children's kingdom kids worship conference, teaching them, helping them experience, soaking in worship and being free. Oh my, we're going to do that in more places. We talked about this when we were in Indonesia. I said, would you like that here? We're going to be doing conferences over there. I don't want to do conferences. I want to go to the villages. We do it all. Whatever God says to do, we do. And that's what it is. And that's what happened. So here's another example of that. There's Christy. You've seen some of these maybe on the website. You can keep moving. They're free. Because in India, you know how their flags would go like this? This is what we do because India is very stiff, honestly. And so we talked about the freedom of God, and God really released the freedom over these kids. And there's a little one here. And there's a church that we're going and encouraging people in right now. We go from our children's home to a little tiny village somewhere. And Pastor Dewa and also Sunitha needs to be added to that. These are the leaders. Are we going through the pictures I chose or just not the website? The ones on the yellow sheet? Okay, that would be great because that will take us till 3 o'clock, I think. Oh, maybe longer. So maybe the yellow sheet. Anyway, the idea here is that God wants us to get the connection. He wants us to see. Some of us are being touched by the Lord. We come up, we receive prayer for healing and deliverance, and we get a touch, and then we go back into the same stuff. And the Lord is saying, I want you to become free where it doesn't exist any longer. That's what the Lord's having for us, so that we can entertain the vision that he's saying, it's for you right now. Do you want it? Do you want to understand it? Some people think, well, we hear so much about issues, inner hurts and hearts and turmoil and such like that, that when we hear about these things like, oh my gosh, I'm in a church and I've got issues. Oh my gosh, I'm always going to have issues. It's going to take me 2 years and all of that. It's just not true. That's a lie. Lord, in the glory, there's healing in the glory, deliverance in the glory, freedom in the glory. That's why I showed you the wheelchair guy. First, the Lord's saying, how free do you want to be and how fast? Honestly. To do the works of the kingdom. But it comes with a heart that's saying, Lord, I just want you. I want all of you. I want all of you right now. And I can be free. Things are accelerating. I'm telling you. There was such an upgrade on this trip. Oh, my goodness. And everywhere we go in the past, there's always healings and salvations. And we don't minimize it. But this was amazing because people were getting it. And you could feel the power everywhere. It didn't matter the venue. It didn't matter whether it was a village or whether it was a fancy rich home or whatever it was. It's like, wow, God showed up in big ways and he's changing nations through that. And he wants us to get that. So as we continue on, just a few more. Healed of kidney stones. Can you imagine being in a village and you got kidney stones and you're healed just like that. Isn't that cool? Does that stir you up? Like, why not here, God? Well, because he's doing it here. He is doing it here. He's saying, but you just need to believe it. Believe it and go after me and watch what I do. He was here last night so strong. Oh, my goodness. I was wrecked in my heart. I had this vision of Jesus walking up the aisle last night and just looking into the eyes of everybody here. I exhort you, implore you to come tonight for the last night. No matter what your schedule is, change it if you can. Come and fill this house for amazing worship, because God's doing things. Okay, keep going here. This lady had splitting pains in her side, and it all left her, and it was wonderful. More healings. I forget this. Oh, this guy. This is going to be a strong world leader. Just this kid in the village. Start prophesying over him. Why? Because the Lord showed up and spoke and said, tell him what I'm saying. And release the destiny. He'll be kicked into motion because the creative words were given. How? And the Lord's going to back that up. And when we go back someday soon, I'm sure we'll hear good things. But God's accelerating them. He's moving quickly, quickly, quickly. That means quickly in our lives. Quickly. If you've got financial troubles or physical problems or family issues, the answer is acceleration in the heavenlies is right now. Yes, Lord. Here we have one of our kids from our children's home testifying about going to heaven. How about that? In India. They don't go to heaven in India. There's Hindu gods. But they do if they know the Lord, and the glory is released and the presence is there. So she's coming up testifying, and all the kids had gold dust on them. You probably heard that when the team was back. Well, let's just keep moving. We're just going to keep showing, because there is a connection. Like, why aren't you just talking about Indonesia? Because I was in India too. But I want you to see the connection between the two countries. If you can get that and understand this, that God is doing something new through this last trip, that there's a definite change. There's going to be a bigger one for Ghana and Mozambique this summer. Who's going overseas this summer? Huh? Do you believe that? And that means those here are going to be experiencing the same bigness or largeness or acceleration. If you look at it that way and expect that, that's what's going to happen. And so here we have the children sharing. Just keep going. And there's Andy looking at all the gold dust. There, look at the children responding to worship. First Children's Worship Conference. Pastor Bill's there, and now we're dedicating a new church. Do you know the name of the church? A new church out in the middle of nowhere. They call it the forest. It's the jungle. You know the name of the church we dedicated? They let us name it. The Glory Realm. Ha! They asked us, what do you want to name it? We said, the Glory Realm. Because when we showed up, oh my goodness. All kinds of prophetic words and visions. There were angels there. The glory fell. People got saved. It was wild. And this is out in the middle of nowhere. And then we hear there's going to be 24/7 prayer. You've got to be kidding, God. In that place, got to get some of these people saved first. But God says, this is what I see. Speak it out and it will come to pass. Amen. Isn't that so good? Releasing the fire. This guy was blind. That's what happens in the glory. You can see. Past your own spiritual and physical and emotional problems, and also natural. So he's healed on the ground. Isn't that so fun? And these Hindus give their life to Jesus after their little boy is touched. And Mark, Christy, and Michelle are praying for the kids. And there's, whoa. What happened here? Andy's preaching the gospel. What's that? Oh, cool. Spontaneous. Wait a minute, I'm not tracking with you. Snake place. Oh, okay, the snake place. Spontaneous, that's true. Was that where it was, where Andy was preaching? Where we saw the snakes, you're right. That was powerful. Okay, here's our kids. There they are. See them? They're going to grow. And they've got feelings and emotions and needs. And I'm telling you, this is the time to say, I want to jump in with the team that's going to help bring these kids up. So, if you're in FTC, And if you don't, you need to be. That'd be great. Then you need to talk to your people there and say, I want to help. I really want to be part of this. What can I do? It can't be just a few of us. It's got to be everybody. I believe that's one reason the Lord has kept the church this size. He has got a specific plan, but it's not going to stay like this. He's saying, let's get the things in motion. Let's get past our own focus of our world and jump into the things that I've released and jump in and say, I want to be part of that, whether I'm physically there or not. And you will be, if you want to be anyway. Amen. Okay, this is another church preaching. Another church. Mark speaking a prophetic word over the kids. Andy and Teresa releasing healing power. There's a crusade. Wow, we're not in a little church anymore. Now we're out with the masses. Two crusades. They're bussing them in. Not with a bus, but a truck, you know. All right, it's India here. They're bussing them in, and it's amazing. We're seeing demons on top of the buildings looking down and laughing. So you got to do business with them. When the glory shows up, the demons leave. And then people get saved, healed, and delivered. This is good news. God's touching India in a powerful way. And he's saying, do you want India? Or do you think it's too big? Do you want to really help in? Do you want to go to the poor and the lost and the hurting? And do you really want to help these children? Do you want to help the masses? What do you want to do? And you all saw this before we came home. This is the lady whose leprosy leg was healed. Look at her. There's no open sores. God's power did that. We shared that in Indonesia. Their jaws dropped like, really? Tell me about this place. Lepers? Children? And the wealth around the world is intended by God to take care of the needs, not just in Indonesia, but in India, in Singapore. Lots of people live in cities, lots of people live in villages. And the Lord's saying, grab this in your heart. What can you do? Can you design websites? Can you help us with ours? Can you work with children? What can you do? I don't know what to do. If you're willing, we'll help you, because we need willing hearts and willing people so that we can move quickly as God's moving. It's like he doesn't want us to lag. When he releases this, he's got a plan. It's not my plan. This is the Lord. I didn't ask to be sent to Singapore. He sent me. And God's serious about it. Very serious about this right now. He must think pretty highly of Frontline. Thank you, Lord. Crusade attention. More trucks. Okay. Another lady. Don't know. Another lady. Whoa. Yay. Okay. Children. Oh, she had strength. You saw this one, right, before? This girl couldn't hold anything. We gave her a bottle of water. Those are not light things. She couldn't hold anything before that. Just prayed for her. She could not hold the water. It's a big deal. She could feel the strength go into her arms. This man's knees totally healed, able to walk without his cane. Praise God. Mark's serving, and this is our leprosy or leper birthday party that we had. This is our family. We take care of these people. We support them. Your monies are going to feed them. Do you realize that? Your prayers are being used by God to heal them. When they've got this junk seeping out of their body, their legs, God's touching them and healing them. They've never experienced this before. This is the glory. And this is something. We're giving words of life. Our first women's conference with Pastor Bill. Yes. Woohoo! I love it. And let me tell you, they need a man and a woman's perspective, biblical perspective, and it's so good. And we were both there. So here we've got prayer and impartation for every person that came. And here we have, then we went on to a mostly male, I think there was one female, this is India, and very much where it is around the world, we're doing a pastor's conference. And there's Andy. I don't know if you've seen some of these praying. All the kids had gold dust. Is that cool? And this is the one where one of the boys was healed too. But let's keep moving. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's happening here? Are we out of Rajamundry now? Okay, did we hit all the ones? Okay. We don't have too many, but I need you to get this. Now, may I have your attention for just 1 minute if you're dozing? Okay, let me ask you something. Did you know before today that we have been supporting two main areas in India? How many of you don't know that? Don't raise your hand. I'm not admitting to that one. Okay? Our children's home is Frontline Ministries International Children's Home. You just saw it. When we go over to them, we also do children's conference, pastor's conference, women's conference, go out to the villages, do crusades. This is all in one general region, which is the southeast area of India. Can you repeat after me? Southeast area of India. It's called Rajahmundry. You may think that's elementary, but I have heard so many people have got this confused, so hopefully this will clear it up. We also work with those who are released from human trafficking. And since all the children are in here, I'm not going to go into any more than that. Human trafficking. And these children, 630 of them, how many?
630!
Are scattered in different places in Southeast Asia, India for you, because you're our frontline home here. But on the website, it will say Southeast Asia.
You, Frontline.
Thank you. You, Frontline, connect with them because I'm going to use you on a worldwide scale. Say worldwide scale.
Worldwide
scale! Now take a look at the number of people in this room. It's not exactly huge yet. But God is saying, I want you to understand. So these children are going to be in a compound that we are partnering with and developing with the people in this ministry. We're going to put them all together. All 630 kids are going to be in a place, in a facility where 2,000 children from these countries will live. And 3,000 will go to school because there'll be other Hindus from around the area. And we work with them, we support them, and they'll have more things on their land, 22 acres. And God says, work with these children and the people. And the villages that surround this big parcel of land have unreached people groups. Say that. Unreached people groups. Thousands and thousands and thousands. Each village has 3,000 in them. And there are village after village after village after village after village near this compound. Who's going to go there? Unreached people groups. This is a very big deal. The Lord is saying, who will volunteer? Who will go? If you grab this in your heart, you can help while you're here. And we'll educate you. We'll help you. Everyone can help. But if you don't approach, you won't. You see? But you need to go through FTC, right, Tom? So you want to sign up. You want to be part of being on the cutting edge for world missions outside of just our little world here? You need to be an FTC for that. Oh, you betcha. Okay, these are some of the children and many of their faces. And if you hear the word redemption, say redemption.
Redemption.
We're talking about right now the children and all of the release in northern India that I've just explained to you. And we have a separate website for that and we'll explain it more later. Okay, we're going to finish up. We're worshiping. Okay. More Indians receiving the Lord. Okay, Pastor Rohit, this is our another surprise. We were in India, and God sent us to another city. He sent us to Delhi. Was not in our plan initially. But we always say, Lord, do whatever you want. So he took us to the two major areas in India, then sent us to Delhi. And now we have another contact who has stepped out in faith. You'll hear more about from Pastor Bill later. His name is Pastor Rohit. And he lives in the slums, has a slum ministry, and he started the ministry by getting a Hindu family saved that was top mafia-type Hindus in the area, so nobody messes with him. Very cool. So these are some of the pictures from that. Okay. I don't know where we are. Okay, we're going to release the children, finally. And then we're going to finish up a few things on Indonesia. And those of you teachers and such and parents or whoever's back there, please listen to the rest of this. See you later. I love you. Where are you?
I love you.
Soon.
See you later.
Okay, now. Did you want?
Yeah. Soon.
I'll sense there's a break in the action. I tend to, there was so much that happened on trip like this that I tend to try to remember individuals and just their situations. There was a man named Benny, and only the family really sees Benny because he's in bed and he's bedridden. He can't go anywhere. And so they find out from another place that we were at, this is Indonesia, that we're willing to pray for Benny. And so the family opens their doors, their private home, for us to come in and see Benny, and he hasn't seen anybody but family in the longest time. So they have to go in and kind of prepare him for what's going to happen. You're going to have some Americans come in, three Americans that you do not know. They're going to be praying for you if you're willing, and they've had success in healing. So you can imagine this older gentleman, he's got to kind of get himself prepared for these visitors crashing into his world. So we go into the room and we pray for Benny, and without even asking him, he starts testing this. He has no idea about healing or anything else. Normally we say to people, you know, they don't know what to do next after you pray for them. We say, why don't you test it? But Benny just started testing it on his own. He can't move in the bed. He can barely look at you, and it's painful. So he starts rolling a little bit in the bed and rolling back. And we said, well, is there any change? I think it's a little better. I didn't feel good about doing this rolling stuff before. So he's continuing to test it. And we're, you know, talking to him about healing and how it works and, you know, all of that. He's still testing. Every once in a while, he just keeps on testing and testing. You know, we didn't see Benny jump out of that bed like we did with so many people. But there's just something inside that says Father God likes his faith. We crash into his world, and he's the one that tested his own healing without even being directed. So we actually have to leave a room and go on to other things when a person is not sometimes totally healed. And it kind of, you know, grabs your heart. But the thing is, he's in the hands of the healer. He's in the hands of the healer. And we expect to hear things later on. So we do move from some of those situations where we just saw a little bit of change in Benny, but he was so encouraged. The smile on his face when we left, the faith in his heart, you could see it. Where when we entered the room, it was more like, who are you and why have you crashed into my room? Why have these people brought you here? Why have my relatives opened my door to you? But by the time you leave, you see that he has skyrocketed in faith, and he's testing. And we told him to speak to his condition. Don't just you know, take what we gave you and leave it at that. You speak to this back and you tell it to line up with the Word of God. You tell it to line up with healing. And I believe that Benny got it. I think he's going to continue to do that. So sometimes you don't see the person jump out of the wheelchair. You don't see them have any progress. In fact, there's, you know, in some of these situations, still some more we would like to see for them. But Father's God is on the scene. He loves their faith. That Abraham guy, I will never forget his faith. That guy wanted to get out of that. I don't care how many things he had wrong with him. We show up and just kind of say, why didn't you step out of the chair? He was already ready. We're just kind of the cheerleaders as God and him work it out with his faith, trusting God. It's really fun. So I think of Benny today and that, you know, he's still testing or he's out walking now and we'll hear the report. And I think of Olivia that she's one of the sisters of one of the pastoral people, and we, you know, we went to a luncheon and they said, oh, on the way home, on the way to your next appointment, could you stop and pray for my sister Olivia, who is, you know, wanting to have a baby, and 8 years have gone by and now it's in vitro fertilization that they're in the process of. They won't hear till Tuesday. You're leaving Tuesday, but could you just pray for Olivia? Sure, we'd love to pray for Olivia. So on the way, through all the crazy traffic in Jakarta, we make it to Olivia's house. And Olivia, you know, is used to Christians. She's maybe even used to hearing about healing. So she's very gracious and has us in and wants prayer, but you can tell her heart is fearful for what she'll hear on Tuesday. What will happen on Tuesday? Will she hear that the baby is there and growing, or will she hear that it just didn't work? And again, you know, they're wondering what's going on. So we go in, we pray, not so much for the baby situation, we believe God's got that completely in hand, but for the fear. For the fear in Olivia. And just such a joy to pray over her for the fear that she knows she has. She admits it. And she repents of the fear in order to trust a God who's good. That is fun, I want to tell you. To allow people just to step from fear to faith in a good God. And so she, after that prayer, says, my parents are here. They have some things. So they're called into the room. They're a little less used to, you know, what we're doing. So they were sitting there, you know, kind of a quiet couple, and what are you going to do to us? You know, I mean, it's almost like you're in the operating room, you know, and you think you have scalpels the way they look, you know, the way the people look. It's like they sit closer to one another. What are you going to do? They hear, you know, they hear so many interesting things about us. You know, the healers are coming, you know. So we just put them at ease and pray over them and some of their physical things and different things. And by the end, they were good friends. And it's just awesome the way God can do it quickly. We don't need 6 months to make friends with strangers. The Spirit of God can do it in moments with one prayer over their life. And they, you know, you could see their faith rise and they relaxed. And they were in rest by the time we left. That's fun. And then on Tuesday, we were in Singapore and got a call. Olivia and Ken are going to have a baby in December. Yeah. So it's just so awesome to be part of that. You know you're only just a little piece. But it's so fun to partner with a big God that cares about their lives. And then they call excitedly. It was the grandmother calling, you know, the grandmother of the child is going to be calling, all excited. So it's just fun. And then Olivia said, she emailed and said, I told you I would email with what happened on Tuesday. And she so fun to be part of that in people's lives. And it's fun here too. You can step into that more and more and have that much fun. You know of people that need prayer. Offer it. Offer it. Let the big God come to them and make himself real. So just all kinds of individual people that I think of. I think of the Crusades. Those are so much fun. They really are, because they just truck people in from everywhere. There's a whole bunch of pastors there, and they're expecting you to do something incredible. I'm sure they're trusting God, but they kind of look at you like you're going to do something incredible. I usually say to God, I don't know what I'm doing here. You need to back us up, because there's all this expectation. I'm not sure whether it's for us or for God, or you're going to have to figure all that out. But what's fun is, I know you're going to do it, because you love these people. No matter where they're at with, you know, oh, the healers are here, or the healer is here. Wherever they are on that spectrum, he loves them, and he's willing to take them to the next level. And we try to bring all the glory to God, because that's where what they have to be with God, you know, not just a few people coming in that have faith for healing. They need to trust God all year long. And hopefully that's what happens in crusades and other venues that we go to. I just saw faith rise so much quicker this year, wherever we went. It just seemed like it didn't take as long. Maybe, you know, God has anointed us just that extra measure, that there's a breakthrough quicker. I kind of like that. I've been waiting for that, contending for that, because some places you go in are very hard, and they're just, you know, lacking faith. You walk into the room and say, you know, you're saying, there's no faith in this room except for the three of us. And that's all the Christians included. So what are you going to do about that, God? He has to change it in order for some things to happen. Well, he accelerated it this time. And I think that's why so many things were just popping. Boom, 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 like that. We couldn't keep up with it. It was just popping so quick, the healings. Poor Michelle was like, you know, she needed like a BlackBerry, an iPhone, a computer, and a few other things just to keep the notes of all the things that were popping so quick with people. And she was trying to interview on the side and take pictures and everything else, because God was moving so quickly. And it's a fun atmosphere, but you need a horse, you know, to keep up with it, to kind of gallop along as the Spirit of God is coming in to do so many amazing things. A horse like never before.
If we can sense that the Lord is trying to raise our understanding, he's trying to increase our heart grabbing onto what his plans are, I think we're really tracking with him. Because we can be sharing missionary experiences. I've been to so many where others have gone overseas, and I sit and I listen and I watch their pictures, and I'm going, wow, that's really cool, God. That's really cool, God. But I'm not changed tremendously in the past. Now I am. If I hear God's doing something, I'm like, wow, where is it? God, you are so amazing. So he's really increasing. You know, that veil has been torn, and we sing, rend the heavens and come down. It's already happened. It's like, don't. You know, don't get caught up in that song. Hello, the veil already has been torn. I sing it and I like the song. But the Lord is saying, it's already open to you. The heavens are open. This riding a horse deal is not just for Ann. You see? It's not just for Mike being sent somewhere. Jesus said to him, you can have this all the time in worship. But God is saying, I want to really cultivate through this understanding of my glory, this increase, a heart for the nations. Frontline Worship Center, Frontline Ministries International, has a specific DNA for world evangelism and changing, transformation and reformation. It's true. People, you've been drawn here, and you probably will stay as your heart continues to grow in that realm. If it doesn't grow in that realm, if someone comes in and they're not really not interested in that, they probably would become very bored. It's like, what's this overseas stuff? But we believe this is what God has. It's his heart, and he's releasing it in this era for us. This is not, let's build up the church, and then maybe in 10 years we'll go overseas. The Lord said, I'm going to start with you differently. I'm going to send you overseas, grow you up a little bit, and then you can start the church. What's that? But Frontline has a specific DNA, and the Lord's really trying to help us become so latched on to him that we'll be able to run the race that he's having, that he has out there for us, and do it his way. If we do it our way, we slow things down. We think we're speeding them up, but we don't. We really slow it down. So it behooves us to say, Lord, what is your way? So that I'm really tracking with what you've released already. So let's just look at a few more and then we'll close up shop here. But this was a typical meeting. This was in Ina's mom's establishment, and we had ministered there last year and had a variety of healings. This lady had a stroke and couldn't lift her arm, and many salvations as well. We never assume everyone's saved. We assume that they're not. And we talk about Jesus and let them experience him. This girl's legs, one was almost 3 inches longer than the other. When she sat down, and it was like, oh my goodness, this, you didn't need glasses or anything for that. Just, wow, there's a big gap here. I don't know how long this is. And Michelle said, it's about 2.5 to 3 inches or maybe more. I don't know, 3 inches, you thought. And so simple prayer, the Lord didn't say hold her legs and pray over them like you see others do somewhere else. He spoke to me and he said, have her stand up and just put your hands on her hips and release my healing, my glory, and my deliverance. And that's what happened. Simple. She sat back down and it was popped out, however that works. We can call it popped out or he shifted her hips, whatever you want to say. Some people say her leg grew out. Well, that's what it looked like. And they were even all the way across. Is that amazing? Just instant, very quickly. And she's bending down there. And this is her, she's bending down to show that this is effective because she had scoliosis as well, which is really cool. And then the whole family was ministered to. After that, her sister, her mother, her father, the whole family was overjoyed. Father was healed of vertigo, testifying that after receiving prayer, he had ringing in his ears. It just stopped instantly. It was just like, oh, all in a day's work. This is what Jesus does. It was simple. Some people were talking in the back, writing, you know, they really wanted to get to lunch. Well, all these miracles are going on. But this was typical. But the Lord has developed this type of ministry. Then we went to a new church that was having all kinds of internal problems with a big upheaval in their ministry. We didn't know that. So just preached the Father's heart and love and declared and decreed over them. And it was a major change for them. And they want us to come back next year. So my question is, Lord, what are you going to do with this Assembly of God Church? Because we were pretty crazy for them. Okay. But what are you going to do with that church? Why did they like us being there? And why do they want us back? What is your plan for Jakarta with that church? Is this the beginning for the pastor's conference that you will have there to release the greater glory? Will this be part of the business and marketplace conference that you told us that you want us to have in Indonesia and Singapore? We're trusting Singapore too for that. You know, God is saying, I want to step this up. I want to interconnect people. And so you're doing the work of the kingdom. This is the release of the kingdom. You're preaching the kingdom. So it's salvations, healings, miracles, quick acceleration, families restored, marriage is saved, people on the verge of divorce because of adultery, turned around. It's like, what? People repenting, turning to their spouse saying, I'm so sorry, honey. What was I thinking? I love you. Oh, hello. That's a big deal. When the glory shows up, thank you, Lord. This is the home that we stayed in, and they have a ministry called Shekinah Glory Ministries. This is the home. We stayed there this time, and they had a meeting for us one of the days or two of the days. And so just another example of a home meeting. And then the web continues. So everybody knows somebody and knows somebody and knows somebody and knows somebody and knows somebody. And so this is how the Lord has started our infiltration into Indonesia. And this started with Ina and her family in Indonesia. Praise the Lord. And you already heard about Mary, and you heard about this woman, and there she's walking now. Isn't that cool? No pallet, no stick, no nothing, just healed. Another ministry. Yeah. I'm on the worship team, Josh. My dream has come true. Hallelujah. Yeah. Severe arthritis, instant healing, you know, pain constantly, just healed. This is at Johnny Santoso's house. And she's walking around, which was great. Another healing. Our interpreter, whoop. Is that hilarious? Whoa. Okay, this woman's scoliosis was healed, severe pain in hips leaving instantly. Another one had diabetes, lifting his legs, keep going. And then this is our interpreter, who interpreted for us last year, Alexandra, and she said, hey, this lady you just prayed for, this pinched nerve thing going on, that's me too. I said, well, come here. Prayed for her, down on the ground she goes, and then her legs start shaking for 5 minutes, like, and her husband's on the ground going, whoa, look at that. The knee is just like, chuck, 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 chuck. So we have it on videotape. It's amazing. It's like, we're not even touching her. It's like, whoa, whoa. And she was healed. She's an amazing person and very strong woman of God. And she said, I need you to come in my home. And so she had another meeting where the guys in the wheelchairs got out. Isn't that amazing? She decided from that healing for her, I think that was probably part of it. Why don't you come to my place and I'll bring all my friends and family over. And so that's what happened. Thank you, Lord. Everybody responding to the glory. We're just, worship just burst out in this home. It's a huge place. Just burst out because we were so grateful to the Lord. Yeah. Just keep going. More context, more healing. This is in home ministry. So these are not cell churches. These are just homes. And this is actually in a building of a contact that we met last year. This is a Muslim boy who was instantly healed in the middle of a meeting at another person's home. A very big place. I'm in the middle of giving the gospel, just telling them about Jesus. And the mother of the home comes up and interrupts me and says, excuse me. Our houseboy, he's Muslim and he's blind. Would you pray for him? I'm right in the middle of this presentation just talking about Jesus and just said, sure. Okay, in Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, sorry, just use an example. In Jesus' name, be healed. And this Muslim houseboy was instantly healed. And that brought salvation to so many. That was last year. Well, this year, when he heard we were coming back, he wanted to see us. He had some problem in the other eye, and plus he was really touched, but he still didn't know Jesus. I had asked that day, can we tell you about Jesus? And the wife of the home said, oh, I'll tell him later, because she knew the condition of the people in the home going, hmm. So anyway, it didn't happen. So hello, we came back again. So we're in this mini mall that has they own the mini mall, these people. Nice. And they own the whole building, and they have a little church area on one of the top floors. Kind of different. They have some ministry that goes on there, which is cool. And so they use that. And this is the father, the husband, whose guy on the right was his Muslim houseboy. He's like a son to him. And the man on the left was just fine with him being a Muslim, even though the man on the left received Jesus last year for himself. But shuffled like this, I'll show you, shuffled into this meeting. He didn't want to see us at all. He didn't want to come. And he shuffled in like this with his cane. But he came because his Muslim houseboy wanted to come and see us, because his blind eye was open last year. And before you see this picture with his arms up, because he got healed after he watched his Muslim houseboy who came up to the front, who's like his son, give his whole life to Jesus, renounce Islam, and refuse to go to the mosque anymore. Because of the glory, because of the power, because of the presence, he wanted Jesus and wanted to live a no compromise life. And in the family business, 90% of the workers are Muslim. I think something's shifting there. So anyway, he walked around the place, the building, and he was just so excited saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And so there was another healing here. Now this is, Pastor Bill prayed for this guy, a guard for the building, Muslim, gave his life to Jesus, watching all this, then gets healed.
I told him he had to be healed because he was keeping me safe.
Okay. Well, he listened. He got healed, and this guy got healed too. I didn't know what was going on, so this is good to hear. So this is the male employee. So I don't know what they're doing. They're just hanging out in this meeting, not working. Maybe they're on their lunch hour. So they get Jesus. They get healed. This is pretty cool. But the web spreads. This is not just one person, although God is very concerned about the one. But he also thinks, what will the one do? That's what he's wanting to show us. Okay, let's keep going. Getting the end of this. This was another meeting at a very influential person who works in textiles for all of Southeast Asia in her gallery, and had a meeting for us, and healing broke out. That's her right there, Marlene. And she was healed herself. That was a bonus. She was happy. And then she had us back to her home for more healing and salvation and food and all of that. So we talked about the glory, about the kingdom. We opened the word of God. We preached the word of God. It was strong. And they're all waiting. But will they pray for us to get healed because they heard about us? You know, everywhere you go, everybody's getting healed. But we had opportunities to just tell them all about revival and all about the call on their life and what the fire of God can do for them and how wonderful Jesus is and how full their life can be with him. And they were excited and they responded and they also got healed. Isn't that fun? And that's what the Lord has. And to finish it up, that was the last one? Okay. Yes. What?
Well, that's what they're going to show.
This is what we want to show you. This is a church. You will be hearing more about them. Their name is Bethel. And God connected us with them last year. And this year we thought, well, we gave them prophetic words. We said, you're going to be in a new building by the time we come back. That's pretty direct. You're going to have a new church, new place, new building. You want to tell them what happened?
So I contacted them before the trip and said, you know, we had such a good connection last year. Would you like us to come in and minister at a service? We have two Sundays that will be in Jakarta. And they emailed back and said, oh, well, actually, they're filled in. Oh, okay. Well, they offered that we go out to lunch together. And I thought, well, okay. You know, we were a little disappointed because we had such a good, strong connection with them and so many cool things happened in the service that we conducted last year. But you just move on to whatever God has for you. So we were supposed to have lunch on Wednesday. On Tuesday, get an email. Good news. The speaker canceled. They're telling us good news. I was like, oh boy, I'd hate to be that guy. Anyway, it opened up for our final Sunday to go there. Well, the final Sunday just happened to be the first Sunday in their new place. In fact, they were putting down the carpet that week, and this guy on the right was in charge of getting it ready. And so we walked in, the carpet just smelled so new and everything. So we show up on their first Sunday in their new place, where Pastor Murray Pat last year said, before we come back, you'll be moving into a new church. And sure enough. And it's kind of a cool situation because they're in an office building of 7 floors and that they members of their church actually own. And so they just have this area paid for already that they're using. That's kind of a cool way to do it. You know, move into somebody else's building, have a church area, and it's already paid for. Pretty cool. Anyway, so we were ministering at this service. It shows some of the pictures there. And I had this picture of the congregation, and there was under each individual chairs, they had individual chairs there rather than pews, there was a fire, a purifying fire that was under each chair. And that some of the people were staying in the chairs and allowing the Lord to purify their lives. But some of the people, when they felt that fire, it was too painful to be purified. And so they were leaving their chairs. They were jumping out of their chairs. But the ones that stayed, above them there was like a faucet of anointing oil that would flow over their life if they were willing to stay and be purified in the Lord. So while I was giving this word, we found out later at a dinner that night, there was a man there, and you'll probably hear about him in the future, so I'll change his name. George, we'll call him. George was there, and he had come to a meeting kind of reluctantly the previous year. He had come to that church, and he was a family member of some of the leaders that you'll see here at the front, but he wasn't really on the page. But he heard we were coming, and family members encouraged him to come, so he came. And at the call for people to come up front last year, he came forward. And he didn't believe in this, I think at that time, the falling down and all of that. He didn't believe in the power of God. It was kind of, I'm coming forward, it's not going to happen to me. Now we found out later, well, we found out this year, he was formerly in the, you know, kind of a head guy in the mafia. He's changed since then, praise God. Years ago, I think he changed. But that's one of the things he was doing in the past. So anyway, he just steps forward, you know, nothing's going to happen to me. But he did feel the touch of God, you know, pulling him as well. He was kind of in a mixed situation. And so Pastor Mary Pat just prayed over him, and he fell down. He, under the power of God, he just hit the deck. Well, it so rattled him that we went to a luncheon afterwards that he just would not come to. It rattled him so much, he wouldn't come to this luncheon, even though it was with family members and so on. But he called me instead and thanked me for coming and told me that, you know, he'd been touched and so on. I said, well, hey, we'll see you next year when we come, because we're planning on coming back to Jakarta. Oh, yeah, that'd be wonderful. So he actually came to this service. And while I was giving that prophetic picture that I had of people being purified by the fire underneath their seats, he had just asked his wife, do you think it would be inappropriate that I leave right now and go to the restroom? And this was before my word. And she said, oh, I think that would be all right. And so just as he starts to move from his chair, I say, the purifying fire of God is under your chair, and there'll be people that will jump out of their chairs and will not want the purifying fire of God. So he is right in the middle of getting up to go to the restroom, having asked his wife if it's appropriate or not, and he sits back down. He never did go to the restroom the rest of the meeting. He came up with his family this time to be prayed for. We may have prayed for some of the family the year before, but he went down and touched by the Lord. This time he wanted more, and he invited us to come to his home for dinner that night. And he told us this story, and we were rolling at the table because he just kept saying it over and over again. Yes, I was just about to, I was in the motion of moving. And then you said, and there'll be people that will jump out of their chairs, will leave their chairs. They won't want the purifying fire. He said, and I sat back down. So he kept telling that, so we eventually got it on video. It was so funny. And he was kind of the host, and everybody was all gathered around. We're all laughing about this story. And then he suddenly says, okay, could we please go to another room? And he takes his wife and asks just the two of us to go to a private room. And he wants prayer, and he wants to repent for his lifestyle. And he not only repented to the Lord, he repented to his wife. And it was just beautiful, just beautiful. So you see, what doesn't happen the first time you go somewhere, the Lord is still working on the heart the whole year long and preparing that person for his touch. And when it comes, it's a purifying flame. He sat in the seat. He had a word picture. I can't leave that seat and go to the restroom, be distracted, or, you know, go do something that is normal. I have to do something supernatural. I have to stay in the seat where the purifying fire is and let that anointing oil come over my life so I can repent. So I can repent. It's so refreshing to repent. So that was fun. You've got to say
that. It was fun. Just to tie it together, to give a little plug here for Frontline Training Center, it's a good thing. And if you've not signed up for this, you really need to see Tom. You really need to be in this, because I'm telling you, God is preparing hearts. He's preparing us. He is expanding. He's increasing anointing. We want to have a prophetic conference, maybe tied in with the business and marketplace. These people are the core people so far that God has connected us with. It's a little bit different than India, but yet the Lord wants to expand us there as well. And we wanted to show you the two countries primarily, and to give you a little taste for Singapore, so that you could see that God is saying, do you want more? Do you want to step into this? Do you want to understand how you can be on a podium and then the Lord speaks to you and says, take your handheld and go out and start prophesying over people and just say, okay, anybody in mind? That one. Okay. Didn't know what I was going to say. I said, would you please stand up? And he stood up, bam, and read his mail and did that through the body. And that was, you know, very effective, not just for the person, but also for many people, the pastor, but also and the family members who had invited that person, that particular person, to come. And there was an extension in the family. I just sat back marveling at the brilliance of God. And I knew when I took the mic, I knew that God was going to do something amazing. And all I had to do was be quiet and listen and understand, as much as he's revealed yet, how the prophetic works, wherever it is, whether it's in a village, which you've seen up here, speaking destiny over a person that God reveals, or going into a church and lighting it on fire. There's such an apostolic call on this ministry. Okay, understand that. If you don't know what that means, it's time to learn, and you'll learn that in Frontline Training Center. Apostolic and prophetic call. It's a worldwide ministry. We don't go and promote ministry. We go and promote Jesus. And God just does this, and he shows up in a mighty way, and then the questions are asked. We might show a DVD if the venue is right and they want to see something. But typically, we just wait, and we go in, and as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I don't come in with persuasive words. I come in with a demonstration of the power of the kingdom. And that's what they saw and they felt. Heavens opened, glory came, and they wanted Jesus. They wanted everything. They wanted his love. They wanted his power, and they wanted more. Why was I created? What can I do? Spoke over a little girl, prophesied over her at Bethel. She went down in the spirit, and I forgot, to be really honest with you, that I had prophesied over her last year that she was becoming this worship leader. And the people remembered. They have tapes and they listen to them. And they remembered all of this. All the words they remembered, and they were reminding me. And Pastor Bill and Michelle. And I spoke the same word over her again. And they said, did you know that's the same word you spoke to her last year? I said, oh, really? And there's this little boy, Matthew, age 10 years old. And the Lord spoke to me and said, he's going to be an evangelist in Indonesia. I said, really? Oh, God, that's amazing. And I got down here. I said, sweetie, do you want to go overseas sometime? Would you like to go somewhere? Yeah. And Pastor Bill says, do you want to go to a hotel or do you want to sleep in a tent? And he said, I think I'll go to the tent. Okay. Do you want to go to Africa sometime? Yep. 10 years old. I said, do you want to tell people about Jesus? Yeah. I do. Do you want to learn how to do that? Yep. What do you think we're going to do in a children's conference when we get over there, huh? Just teach them how to wave a banner? Come on. Teach them how to do a flag? That's nice. Okay, banners and flags are great. But I'd rather go to heaven, wouldn't you? And wouldn't you like to have banners and flags and go to heaven too? Yes. So this, when we do conferences, as we call it, this is all about, let's experience the glory and see what God wants to do with our life. And that's what we want to see happen without any compromise with our children here. Okay? We don't want mixture. We don't want the world. We want the glory. That's what we want for the wee little ones to the older wee little ones. All of us. That's what we want. And today was a day really of visioning and trusting and praying and believing that you will have been gripped in your heart in some way. You'll think about this. Maybe there'll be a picture that pops in your mind. Maybe you'll want to come to worship tonight because you get to experience the glory and feel the power of God come down for yourself. You know, God's saying, let me stir you up. So today was a day of hopefully stirring. We do exhort you to go to the website. We know we had some problems with it, with virus and stuff while we were somewhere, whatever country we're in. And I know there was a season where things weren't going up or couldn't be, but I think it's okay. Maybe. Wait, there's a waving of the hands. Mostly okay. Alrighty then. We will, because that's it. But God's expanding and exposing, you know, taking us to different places, so. Yeah. Let's close in prayer. A little different Sunday, but do you feel a little bit stirred? Huh? Oh, good. Yeses are good.
Better a virus for the website temporarily than malaria for the pastors. So viruses for the pastors. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if it was clear, but George, the guy that had, you know, the fire in the bathroom and all that business, when she went out into the crowd, she went into various areas of this rather large, you know, church area, went into the congregation in various areas. The majority of those people were relatives of George. And so he knew their lives. And when she spoke out the word to each one of these people, he was able to say, that's God. That's God. So, you know, you can trust that our Father is working on many, many levels. You don't know when you reach out to pray for someone or to give a word to someone exactly how many levels God is already working on in that person's life and their relatives and their household. And that's why he can say it's under the household, because he's going to weave all these things together. And if we don't step out, we miss seeing what he's going to do on all these different levels. We're typically thinking, oh, I will pray and give a word to this person. God is saying, do you know what that's going to mean for their household, for this city, for this nation of Indonesia or India? Do you realize? You know, if we have ears to hear, we'll be able to maybe, and eyes to see, we'll be able to see some of those things. No, you've already had your time.
One thing that we declared wherever we went was that we believe that God wants to bring transformation to your heart and to this area, to your family, to your ministry, to your workplace, to your region. And that's going to result in reformation, the kingdom of God just overtaking and taking over that particular area of influence. And as we release that word over the places and in the venues that we were in, I'm telling you, you could feel the power of God. It was as though the Lord and the heavenly host were going, yes, yes, you see it. Now you declare it. And when you declare it, they'll be able to grab it because it creates something. It was a creative word that was spoken. We are going to these places and we're all going together and they're expanding and we're going to see entire regions. I'm serious. That's why it's no joke when we're standing up proclaiming over the city. When you saw that, it's a big deal. When we go into these places, this is not just a little missionary ditty story. The Lord's saying, transformation, reformation, see yourself that way. See yourself. I'm a revivalist. I'm a transformer. Okay? I'm a reformer. That's my heart. I'm a laid down lover, and it's not just for me and God alone. It's okay. Let's take it for you, Jesus. That's important. That's the glory, and that's the heart of a world changer that will ride that horse and not give it up. And God says, that's for you tonight. Let's pray.
I just wish Pastor Mary Pat would get a little excited. I've been trying. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your report. It's so good. It's so good to hear your report. Father, it's even greater than what was shared this morning. It's even greater than what we know and what we could share if we had 2 or 3 days. It's even greater than that because you work on so many levels and you're just so willing to love on people, especially in a dry and thirsty land like India, especially in a dry and thirsty land like Indonesia, especially in a dry and thirsty land like Singapore, especially in a dry and thirsty land like our own. Father, we thank you that you're so willing to come and transform everything and reform everything and change our hearts and move in us and move in others as we reach out. Father, we're asking that you would place that flame under each person today and let them be purified in your purposes, purified in your destiny, Lord, that they may want that anointing oil faucet to turn on and flow full, and that they would receive all you have for them today to reach out as they minister, to reach out unto their household, to reach out unto their community, Father. We're thankful, Lord, that you're so faithful to do that. And we're receiving. We're in receiving mode and rest mode right now for you to do that in each of our hearts. We bless each person here. We ask that more worship would be offered to your name, not starting tonight, starting now, Lord, and let it flow into tonight. Father, as we gather back together to raise up your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ina has an announcement as she's coming up. There was also a tremendous change in worship. And I want to, you know how much I love Christy, my daughter, but having her in India with us was amazing, with all of us worshiping together. And I just really believe that, I'm trying not just to highlight you, Christy, but it really was amazing that the Lord used you so much in India, and I thank God for your life. But I know that all of us who were worshiping together, Pastor Bill's always amazing under the anointing, and Teresa, and those who are all together. But to have that extra, I felt that the Lord was saying, okay, the army's increasing that we're sending overseas. That's my point. And so he's lifting up our school of worship. He's lifting up our school of business. He's lifting up school of media and communication and creative arts. He's saying, I like what you're doing. Jump in wholeheartedly in these areas. Don't blow it off like, just FTC. That's a mistake. I really believe that God will use this tool to release us all over the world as this is what we're doing. And we're also going to be taking FTC abroad with us, through us, but also in a larger way as the years go by. A little plug there, Tom. Sorry.
I just want to tell you, I've been able to sit here after the prayer. I haven't even been able to sit for more than 15 minutes at a time. So I thought you'd like to hear that.
Yay! Yay, God! Thank you, Don! Woohoo! There's healing in the glory, amen? Oh, it's so good. Come tonight for more. Tuesday night dancing. Wow. Well, we're seeing upgrades. This is so good. Okay. Ina has something.
Legend Outreach is Wednesday 13, 1.5 weeks from now. And we need volunteers to make cookies for the residents and for the staff. We